carrying on the daily companion of the Chofetz Chaim, Leschus for Shlema of Yosef Dov Ben Chailo. We discussed yesterday the mitzvah sase of Uvo Sidbok, which is one is over when speaking Lashon Hara. This is number 6 out of 14 mitzvah sase that one might be over when speaking Lashon Hara. Why just might be and not definitely would be? Because you have, for example, number 7. Next one on the list is Umikdashi Tiro'u, and you shall fear my sanctuary, my holy place. So that means in shul, if you speak Lashon Hara, then you're over on Umikdashi Tiro'u. If you speak at home or on the street, you're not over. Sefer brings down that after the Churban, the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem gave us a vital gift which would enable us to survive this long and bitter Golus. He allowed the Shekhinah to manifest itself to some degree in the Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. To this day, the Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses remain places where we can connect to Hashem. Against this backdrop, Chofetz Chaim says, one can recognize the full gravity of speaking Lashon Hara in Shul. From the words Umikdashi Tiro, we learn that a Jew must treat his shul with dignity and only tread in it for holy pursuits. This mitzvah prohibits all forms of sichas chulin, any mundane conversation in shul. How much more so does this prohibition apply to Loshna Rechilas, which indicate a complete lack of fear of Hashem, whose presence is especially manifest in such holy places? The Chofetz Chaim states that the hidden message which a person communicates when Chas V'Sholem speaks Lashon Hara in Shul is that he does not really believe that Hashem resides there. Only with such an attitude could a person feel free to disobey Hashem's rules in Hashem's own house. The Zohar says that the sin of ignoring Hashem in his house has grave ruchnius repercussions in the upper worlds. Then the Chofetz Chaim brings a story, but before we come on to the story, I want to mention another story, slightly digressing from Rabbi Eli Mansour, who spoke about stop talking in shul. So when he talked about stop talking in shul, we can learn a kal v'chomer when it comes to Lashon Hara. So he was in his shul, Rabbi Shlomo Busu was laning, who was a grandson of the Baba Sali. And during one Dalias, he heard a bit of murmuring, so he stopped and turned around, he said, can't carry on laning, because laning, when we do Kriyas HaTorah, it's exactly a replication of Hamamat HaSinai. How is it, for example, Vayisu V'Safti Sahor, that's the Kehillah. Moshe Alo Alekim, that's going up to the Bima. The Shulchan, that's Lamamat HaSinai, the Balkur is Kaviyocho LaKodesh Baruch Hu, and what else is there, for example, you're not allowed to lean against the, when you're laning, it has to be the aim of a Euro, as it was Har Sinai. So he said, what happened to Har Sinai? Anybody who was ill, had a problem, a blemish, everything was healed at Har Sinai. So anybody who talks, even Ben Gavra Gavra, is stopping that skula of someone getting a refuah. So that's why he said, I'm not laning any. If there's any noise, I'm not laning anymore. So that's the message he wants to bring. And tomorrow, Mr. Chem, to bring the Chofetz Chaim story. But that's Kalva Kalvachom, if that's just ordinary speech, Kalvachom when it comes to Lashon Hara. We'll carry on tomorrow in the Tashem. Started at the Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, 3rd of Adar Rishon, 12th of February. Rabbi Danny Fisher, Shlita, Torah Min HaShomayim. This week's Torahway is sponsored by Family Y. Kruskal, in honor of their granddaughters, Chasson and Eretz Yisrael, Yehit Rotzon, Shimon Bais, Nehemon B'Yisrael, B'Shalem, B'Lis Hilo. Also, this Chus, Ashabim Ba'achayolim, Ba'mil Chamosh, Shachlu Levotayim, V'Shalom B'Mheiro.
Amen. So we just had Ve'ela Mishpatim, Parshas Mishpatim. So it says over there, Ve'ela Mishpatim, Hashet Tosim Lifnehem. So Rashi says, Kol Mokim Shenema Eile, whenever it says Eile by itself, Potter is Roshonim, we puzzle the Roshonim. Ve'ele, the Vov of Ve'ele that we see in Ve'ele Mishpatim, is Moisiv ala Roshonim, Maha Roshonim Messinai, Af Ele Messinai. Rashi tells us that just as the Roshonim, meaning the Aseres Adibras, was given on Har Sinai, so too everything in Mishpatim and all the mitzvahs beyond, all Tariq mitzvahs, were given on Har Sinai as well. Maral tells us as follows. Maral says, even though all mitzvahs were given on Har Sinai, however, yesh mitzvahs shehim ikka yoise misinai. There are mitzvahs which are ikka yoise misinai, more maybe fitting for Sinai, coming from Hashem's. So lefi shehim mitzvahs chashuvas. There are mitzvahs chashuvas. V'yarad hakadosh baruch hu bishvilom al Har Sinai lausam dafka. V'chol shah mitzvahs nemer imohem b'sinai. But, however, the Maral tells us as follows. All mitzvahs are given on Har Sinai. And they were, as we said, yesh ikka yoise to Sinai, mitzvahs chashuvas. However, it has to be that all the remaining tariyak mitzvahs were also given on Har Sinai. Why? Because it says in Tehillim, Torah Hashem Tamima. The Torah of Hashem is perfect. And therefore, it can't be that only certain mitzvahs are given now, and then the remainder later on. It has to be they are all given at the same time. That's what the Maral says. And he brings the Gemara in Soita, which talks about the Kolosel, but Kolosel means the Machloik, exactly what the more of the nitty-gritty, what was going on. However, it has to be that everything was given in Har Sinai. He says, so you might ask, you will look through the Chumash, you get to Ohel Moed. Many times it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Ohel Moed. And then we have all the mitzvahs, Karbonos, etc. And then you get to Arvos Moav, many, many more mitzvahs are given later on. So how does that work? What's going on? So he says, when it reached Ohel Moed, we're discussing with the Karbonos. And therefore, yes, since we've reached the stage of Ohel Moed, which is due with Karbonos, so that was the Ikka, that was what was taught over. But the same thing as well, Torah Hashem Tamima. So although Moshe Rabbeinu is now telling Klal Yisrael and focusing on the Karbonos, or by Arvos Moav, it's focusing on the mitzvahs to do with over there, but still, Torah Hashem Tamima tells me that all mitzvahs was given. So it comes out that on Har Sinai, all mitzvahs were given, although, let's say the focus was on the Aseres Adibros. We reach the stage of Ohel Moed, so that deals with those type of mitzvahs. But again, the whole Torah was given again, because Torah Hashem Tamima, and the same thing, but Arvos Moav. That's what Maral is telling us. So that's Torah Shebik Self. Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara in Erevin tells us, Ton Rabbonon, it's Machlok, it's exactly in this idea, but the Ton Rabbonon, Ketzad Tzei the Mishnah. So how was Torah Shebal Peh, how was that taught over? So he says, Moshe Lomad, Moshe Lomad Mipi Agvura. Hashem learnt it directly from Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu learned it from Hashem. Nichnas Aaron. Aaron came in. V'shalalo Moshe Pirkei. Moshe Rabbeinu then taught it over to Aaron. Nistalik Aaron. Aaron left, sat on the left of Vayoshev Nismol Moshe. Then the children of Aaron came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu teaches it again. And then they go and sit down as well. Elozar on the right of Moshe, some on the left of Aaron. And Rabbi Yehuda says, the Olam Aaron Limin Moshe Choze Nichnasu Zakenim Meshalom Moshe Pirukon etc. Machloek is in that point. However, it comes out Nistalik. It comes out that Nimtza Biyad Hakol Arba. Comes out the Torah Shebal Peh was taught over four times, meaning everyone heard it four times. That's just the Hakdoma. The Hakdoma is that Torah Shebik Sav, Torah Shebal Peh was taught over to Klal Yisrael. Everyone heard what was going on. This brings the following question. Rav David Zapirman asks the following question. He has a mahalach. He asks, if it's true, and we know it's true, we've just explained that Torah Shebik Sav, Torah Shebal Peh was taught to Gantz Klal Yisrael. Everyone heard what was going on. So how did Machlokes come about? How do we open a Mishnah, we open the Gemara, we open the Mishnah, we have Beis Shammai says one thing, Beis Hillel says the other thing. Where did this Machlokes come about? If everything was taught, how did that come about? So that's what we're trying to discuss today. So the truth is, there's no surprise. The Torah already anticipated that there would be disputes and matters of the law and how to deal with them as well. And you look in the Devarim and explains, even in earliest times, there were disputes needed to be resolved in the Sanhedrin. So we go to Devarim. Ki yipolei mimcha dova la mishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nagan nega, divrei rivois b'sharecha. So what should you do if there's a machloikus? V'kamto v'alisa ala mokeim ashe yivcha Hashem boi. You should go to the place, Eis HaMikdash, to be able to find out what the halacha is. But we already see that local rabbonim, there could be a machloikus between the halacha. The Torah gives you the eitzah, what you should do. You should go to Beis HaMikdash. Ubosal HaKoinim, etc. V'drashtav hegidu l'cho eis tevah ha-mishpot. V'asisa al-pi ha-dova, ashe yegidu l'cho min ha-mokaru, ashe yivcha Hashem, v'shamarat al-aseis kod ashe yorucho. And this is what you have to do. Al-pi ha-toyra ashe yorucho v'al ha-mishpot, ashe yimilcho tase loisosur. Don't go away. Min ha-dova, ashe yegidu l'cho yominu small, Rashi says, even if he's telling you things it's to be left, but you always have to follow what they say. So not only did the Torah anticipate that there will be a machloikus, we have to try and understand how did this come about, but Torah anticipates machloikus, but the Chachomim themselves told us, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Ches, tells us that this was predicted long in advance. So what does the Gemara tell us? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai Oymeh, Chas v'sholom shenishtakeach Torah miYisrael, Chas v'sholom shenishtakeach Torah miYisrael, that Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Shenema, Ki lo yishachach mipizari, it will never be forgotten. So what does it mean when the Pasuk says, Yeshoytetu levakesh es devar Hashem, they will roam around to try and find out the words of Hashem, what's going on? V'lo yimotzu, and they won't find. Says the Gemara, Shelo yimotzu, halocha bruro, mishnah bruro, b'makom echot. Rather, there will be disputes, there will be a machloikus amongst the chacham, amongst the sages, to find out what the halocha is, and yes, there'll be a machloikus. Okay. So really, there are no surprises at all. It's already, we've seen in the Chumash, we've seen in Torah Sheval Peh, that something like this will take place. What we need trying to find out is, how did this happen? And what should we do in a situation when there is a machlokes, and try and understand that, yes, this is Torah Sheval Peh. So there was once a time that there wasn't such a thing as a machlokes. It was quite straightforward. In the earlier times, again, shoftim v'shoftim titen l'cho, so this is shoftim v'shoftim titen l'cho v'cho sh'recho. You would appoint shoftim, you would appoint shoytrim, you're not sure what to do. You go up to the shoftim, the shoytrim, you have your question, and they'll judge. V'shoftu esa'om mishpat tzedek. However, the lower courts were not the only ones that could vote on law that were in question. They could, what they did is they would paskin on what they knew. Okay, they had a mesorah, they knew how to learn. So when they would be given a question, they would take the information that they would have and paskin. However, as time went on, maybe there were questions which were asked and the shoftim weren't sure what to do. So in that scenario, they would go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. They would go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. They weren't sure what to do. Maybe they would ask a higher Dayan, let's say. And if he didn't know, it would end up by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Sanhedrin would paskin, and that, whatever the Sanhedrin would say, this was the every word that they would say to Am Yisrael. This was what Hashem had decreed, and this is how the Rambam tells us in Hilchas Mamorim, Perik Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So Rambam explains the role of the Sanhedrin HaGadol and why they're so unique. So based in HaGadol should be Shalaim Heim Ike Toyer Shabal Peh. The base in the Hagolda near Shalaim, the Ikka Torah Shabal Peh, whatever they were saying was Torah Shabal Peh. The Heim Amudei Hayro Mehem Choyk Umishpot Yoytzi L'Kol Yisrael. And from there, the Choyk Umishpot would come out to Klal Yisrael. Baleim Havtocha Torah, and the Torah tells us, as we saw before, Al Pi HaTorah She Yorucho Zu Mitzvah Zasei. It's a Mitzvah Zasei. It's not a nice thing to listen to what they're saying. It's a Mitzvah Zasei that we need to listen to the Sanhedrin Hagodol. And whatever they say, that is the law. That is Torah Shabbat Peh. V'chol ha-maimim b'moshe Rabbeinu b'toyr asoy, chayv lismich ma'is ha-hadas alayhen v'shon alayhen. It's something that we have to, if we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah, so we have to rely on what the Chachomim are saying in that situation. So with this, we have to understand, how does it work? How does the system work? So halachas were handed down directly from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. With that, the Sanhedrin HaGadol would judge accordingly, and they were paskin. Now, what would be the situation if, and it could happen, the Sanhedrin HaGadol weren't sure how to paskin? It will say later on, how did this come about? But the Sanhedrin HaGadol could be, didn't know how to paskin. So that's not a problem, because the Torah anticipated this, and the Torah gave the Sanhedrin HaGadol the ability to be able to paskin. So now, if they didn't remember what the halacha was, they would use Hashem's given system, which is the Shalosh Esrei Midos, the 13 principles, in the Kavod Chomer, Gzeirah Shavah. So all this, Hashem had given Sanhedrin HaGadol the ability to be able to work out a solution if they didn't know. So Hashem gives over the Torah Shebaal Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu, and most halacha is passed down. If Sanhedrin HaGadol doesn't, then Sanhedrin HaGadol will paskin. If they weren't sure, then they would use the Shalosh Esrei Midos in order to paskin. However, what would be if you've got a Sanhedrin HaGadol, you've got many Dayanim sitting there, some paskin like this, some paskin like that, so what do? Says the Torah, you go after the Rov. And once you go after the Rov, the members would vote, and the decision of the majority would be final. So again, that becomes halacha, that becomes Torah Shebaal Peh. Once you had the Rov, based in HaGadol or paskin, from that point on, no one could argue with the decision. And it was viewed as the original ruling given on HaSinai. That was final. So here we have a statement from the Gemara, which tells us what would take place in the period before Machlokes. So the Gemara in Tamura tells us as follows. V'omra b'Yehuda, omar Shmuel, kol ashkelai sha'umdu lehen Yisrael mi'mois Moshe ad shemes Yosef ben Yoezer, hoyu lamdin Torah k'moshe. Anyone, kol ashkelai that was taught to Yisrael from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Yosef ben Yoezer was nifta, they learned Torah k'moshe Rabbeinu, as if maybe he was teaching it over. Mekan ve'elach lo yo lamdin Torah k'moshe Rabbeinu, V'ham Rabbi Yehuda, omar Shmuel, Shloshes alofim halochas nishtachu mibmei avelu shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Shel Moshe. Tishkach lehu ishtachach dimu lehu. And he explained what was going on. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta, 3,000, straight away, when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta, 3,000 halochas were forgotten. Pretty much straight away. So if we have a problem of like, oh, so many years later, how are we forgetting certain things? We have to try and work out what the halocha is. Even then, at that stage, 3,000 were forgotten. We've lost the Rabban Shali Kol Yisrael, we've lost Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore halachas were forgotten. And where the things were Tomei, were Tohar. And therefore, using the clarity of the Shalosh Esrei Midos, we were able to work it out. So even at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Nifta, Hashem obviously knew what was going to happen, and Hashem gave the ability for us, for the Chachamim, to be able to work out what's going on. And it says in Tzemura, Tevzayin Amud Aleph, Masis and Tonar Elef Yishvah Meyos Kalin V'chamurim V'gezeiros Shavas V'diktek Soifrim Nishtaku B'mei Avelo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So many little things were diktukei Soifrim was forgotten during the Avelo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Shel Moshe Omer Vivo Afal Pikein Hachziron Asanel Ben Kenaz Mitoich Pilpuloi. Asanel Ben Kenaz, he came along and he was able to bring back the Torah Shebaal Peh. He wasn't making anything up. He was bringing back the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was forgotten, using the rules of Hashem. Mitoich Pilpuloi. What do you mean Mitoich Pilpuloi? Using the Shalosh Esrei Midos, working it out. Maybe there was a debate as well, using the Rov. But Mitoich Pilpuloi, he was able to bring back what was originally lost. So we explained that many halachas were forgotten. But if we're talking about, we're not talking about over here, you know, we have this Chinese whispers where someone says something to the next person and it's forgotten. You do it in a group of 20 boys and by the time you got to the end, something completely is different from the beginning. That's because it becomes a joke, people don't really care. You don't really care if you're going to get it wrong. Here we're talking about, they were holding on to life. They're holding on to Torah Shebiksav. They're holding on to Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore they couldn't forget anything. And therefore, can you imagine, they were trying to remember so much. However, it came to a stage when they were in Golos. They were running away from the Romans. They were in Golos. And therefore, things were likely to be forgotten. And that's what we needed, the halachalam, we needed the way we explained to bring it back. So, just a couple of examples where we have machloikas between Tanoim. So, we have over here, Mishahoy Roshay Vurubai Basukov Shulchonu Betoich HaBayis. Okay, it's a famous machloikus. Why does a sukkah have to be? So it's enough. Beishamai Poislin, Beishamai would hold in this situation if Rubai v'rubai basuka v'shochan b'sachbayis. Beis Shammai would pasul the sukkah, and Beis Hillel machshir, and Beis Hillel would say in that scenario it would be kosher. So to be precise, the sukkah size, which is the machlokus over here, is 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. Beis Shammai would disqualify that case, whereas Beis Hillel would say it's kosher. So in what scenario was this taking place? Normally we sit in a sukkah, we don't really have to start measuring the width of the sukkah because we sit in a sukkah which is comfortable enough to have a family. So it's very uncommon to have to start measuring to working out. And the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is quite small. I know when I was in Eretz Yisrael, my brother, he was in Harnof, so he had his sukkah on the thing on maybe downstairs, but he had a very small mipeset. So I went to see, he made himself a very small sukkah where he could sleep in. But it's quite uncommon to come up to that situation. So the fact that there was a machlokes in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel to do with that very small about the minimum shear, it's very easy to get forgotten, because only in a situation where a person's, let's say, running away and he has to try and work out what the minimum size of a shear is to be yotze his mitzvah, so this is very uncommon. So it can happen that type of halacha is forgotten. Another example would be in how to read Shema. So it's machlokes, sitting down or standing up. Beis Shammai says that in the morning one must stand, but in the evening one must be in a leaning position. Beis Hillel says that any position will suffice, will be okay. So again, it's a very small machloikus when it comes to exactly the way a person should be sitting. Now people might say, you know, when you look through the Gemara, there's so many machloikus over there, it's maybe hard to understand. How can it be so many machlokes? But if you look carefully, yes, there's quite a bit of machlokes out there, but compared to what is quite straightforward, where there is no machlokes, it's very minimum. We just brought the example of sukkah. We said there's machlokes in the width of the sukkah. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. But if you look carefully in the Gemara, Mishnah Gemara, you can see that so many examples, so many cases, so many halachas, there's no machlokes at all. So for example, We get to it, there's a mitzvah to eat and drink in a sukkah for all 7 days. No machlokas over there. Women are potter. A person who is not well is potter. The minimum height is 10 tefachim. No machlokas over there. Sukkah must be covered with materials that grow from the earth. Schach must cover the majority of the area of the sukkah. When it rains, a person is exempt from the mitzvah. The sukkah must be able to withstand normal winds. So in that situation, no machlokes over there. And the walls of the sukkah can be made from any material at all. So we have one small machlokes compared to the agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's easier to understand now. Yes, there can be a machlokes. Machlokes can come about, but most is agreed upon. And then we said, if there is a situation when there is a machlokes, how to deal with that. To summarize so far, we've said that generally, the Sanhedrin remembered everything that was going on. They remembered all the halachas. It was quite straightforward. They remembered. It was passed down to the next generation. And if, for whatever reason, that was forgotten, so they used the Shalosh Esrei Midos, and through that, as we said, Mitoch Pilpuloi, they would come out what halacha would be. And if there was still no agreement, they voted, and that became through the majority. And after that, no arguments remained outstanding for a period of time. Okay. So there's an unbelievable Rambam and Malbim, which we can use this to understand what we've said so far. So at the time of Matan Torah, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that the Jewish people will believe in him forever. It says in Shemois, later on, V'gam b'cho Yaminu la'olam. Israel says, "V'gam b'cho yaminu la'olam." They'll believe in you forever. They'll never doubt you. And Rambam tells us that we actually heard Hashem appointing Moshe Rabbeinu to be his messenger to our people. However, not long after that, Korach comes to the scene, and there's a massive machlokus going on over here between Moshe and Korach. And the Malbim tries to understand what's going on over here, because who was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was Odom, was on of Mikol Odom, the most humble person to exist. So therefore, we see when his sister, Miriam, had tzaras, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes and prays for her. Rifon Allah. And so here as well, and it was like Lashon Hara. So here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu is now having a debate with Korach. The most humble person should forgive Korach. But not only does he daven to Hashem that he should die, his cousin, but he should have this a death where it is never been before, an extreme type of Misa Mashuna. Well, why is that? So he says, Malvim says that the what was going on over here was, it wasn't like a really debate against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take it personally. It was against Torah Shebaal Peh. It was against Torah Shebaal Peh. It was against Hashem. What would be the case if Korach will get his way? People were around when the Torah was given. And suddenly things are changing. Moshe Rabbeinu is meant to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Aaron's meant to be the Kohen Gadol. And suddenly things are changing, but the Torah was just given. So this would cause a huge roshem to Klal Yisrael. It would go against the belief of what was going on. So it wasn't enough just to be Moichel, his cousin, or ask him just to die. It was something which was necessary to show Klal Yisrael, you don't start up with Torah Shebaal Peh. This is how it was. This is how it was. And therefore, this miraculous punishment served the purpose of being a heavenly demonstration that whatever Moshe said in the name of Hashem was indeed the Dvar Hashem. And the Rambam tells us in Pirush HaMishnah in Sanhedrin, actually before we say that, I was thinking, it says, what happened to Korach? So Korach, ultimately Korach has his death in a Misa Mishuna. So you see the psukim, we'll get there soon, but we see that Korach is now underneath. And what does he say? He says, Moshe emes v'soirosa emes. He's admitting, maybe for people to hear as well, Moshe emes, Moshe is true, not just Moshe is true, but his Torah is true as well. You don't start up with Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't start up with Klali, you don't start up with Hashem, you don't start with the Torah. This is what Hashem has paskened should be. I'm wrong. Moshe emes v'soirosa emes. And the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah Sanhedrin tells us, in Perek Chelek, he says, Kumoi Kain. Here Rambam's talking about how we have to believe in Hashem, how we have to understand that the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukumoi Kain, Pirush HaTorah, Hamakubal, Gam Kain Mipi HaGvura, V'zeh She'onu Oisim Hayoim, Mispoinus HaSukah, V'Halulav, V'Lulav, V'Shoifer, V'Tzitzis, V'Tfilin, V'Zulasom Hu Ba'atzmai, Hispoinus HaShe'omah, HaShem Yisparach, L'Moshe. This was given from Hashem to Moshe. Something we have to believe in. Part of the Ikrim, believing in Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hu omar lonu, v'hu ne'man b'shlichusoy. Ne'man b'shlichusoy, v'hamayma hamor al yosoy tazeh. So Rambam tells us that you've got to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one who's handing over the Torah Shebaal Peh. What pasuk does he bring in order to prove this? Maybe he could have brought other pasukim as well. V'gam b'cho yaminu lo'olam. What pasuk does Rambam bring? The Rambam brings the pasuk Vayoyme Moshe Bezois Teidun Ki Hashem Sholachani Lasos Kol HaMaisim Ho'eleh Kiloy Melibi. The pasuk that the Rambam brings is from our case of the Korach case. It says in Bamidbar Tes Zayin Chav Ches. It says Vayoyme Moshe. Over here we have the whole story of Korach and Dothan v'Aviram. They're standing. They're now debating against Moshe Rabbeinu. V'Dothan v'Aviram yotzu nitzovim pesach o'aleihem u'nesheihem v'nehem v'tapom. Can you just imagine the drama, what's going on over here? The debate between Moshe and Korach. Everyone's standing over there. And people are wondering, maybe what's going on over here? This is a battle against Hashem with Torah Shebaal Peh against Korach coming along and debating against Torah Shebaal Peh. Vayomer Moshe, and this is the pasuk that Rambam brings, Bezois teidun ki Hashem sholachani la'asais eis kol ha'maisim ho'eleh ki lo'i milibi. It's not coming from me. Im k'mois kol ha'odom yumusun eileh f'gudas kol ha'odom yipoked aleihem lo Hashem sholachani. If they die a natural death, I admit I'm not coming as a messenger from Hashem. I'm wrong. V'im b'riyo yivro Hashem ufotzo ha'domes piho volo ha'isom. If they end up getting swallowed, v'es kol ashelohem You should know that starting up with Hashem. When he finished to say these things, suddenly the ground opens up, falls on, they end up falling through. Suddenly, everyone sees. Don't start off with Klal Yisrael. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to the extreme to show people this is Torah Shebal Peh. And we also see Ve'esh yotzo me'es Hashem v'toichal es hachamishim u'masayim ish makrivei hakatoras. Even the 250 men, the Gedolim, who were about to offer up this cup, offered up the Ketores, therefore they had this Misur as well. And that's what the Rambam was telling us. So we've seen that Torah Shebikhtav, Torah Shebaalpeh was given over to Klal Yisrael. We see how it was passed down from generation to generation, and most halachas, most of it was taught over. It got to a certain stage when Hashem knew, then people would forget. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi had to put the Mishnah together. Mishnah is just putting together the Torah Shebaal Peh. And Sanhedrin HaGadol, whenever a question would come to them, normally they would know the answer. If not, you'd use a Sholesh Esrei Midos, you use a Roiv, and that would be the Halacha L'maisa. Not for now, but then that gets us to the stage of the Mishnah and the Gemara. What we now to understand is, how did it come to the case of the Rishonim? If it was so straightforward, the Mishnah came along and said something that came down to the Gemara, and then where does the Machloikas of the Rishonim come about if it was so straightforward? That you have to understand of what was going on over there with the Rishonim, and then you have to try and understand the Machloikas, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, why they would say Halacha like this, Halacha like that. But that's what we have to understand. But what the Rambam now finishes off by saying, we don't start up with Torah Shebaal Peh. What we need to understand is with Emunah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who handed over the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And in fact, he didn't really want to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. But he ended up doing it because that was what he was meant to do. And when he took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and he gives over the Torah, this is all coming from Hashem. Aaron saw exactly what was going on. Aaron was more than happy for Moshe Rabbeinu to be that leader. Ultimately, he was the Kohen Gadol. But we have to understand is this is the Torah Shebaal Peh, and when we believe in that, the Rambam's telling us that everything Moikein Pirsha Torah Makubal Gam came mipi Agvura Vezer Shonu Oisim Hayoim, believing and Munir that Hashem gave us the Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh.
Thank you.